Welcome, revolutionary mama, to the Raising Wild Hearts podcast. I'm Ryan Watkin, educator, mom of three, rebel at heart, and passionate soul on a mission to empower and inspire you. Here, we'll explore psychology, spirituality, parenthood, and the intersection where they all come together. We'll discover how challenges can be fertile soil for growth, and that even in the messy middle of motherhood, we can find magic in the mundane. Join me on my own personal journey as I talk to experts and share resources on education, creativity, self-care, family culture, and more. I believe we can change the world by starting at home in our own minds and hearts, and that when we do, we'll be passing down the most important legacy there is: healing. And so it is. Hello, welcome to the Raising Wild Hearts podcast. Super happy to be here, obviously. You'll notice that I typically always say that because when I sit down to do this, I'm really excited and inspired, and I've really analyzed and thought very hard about what I'm going to talk about and how I can relate it to you and inspire you in your own journey. So yeah, that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to start off by telling you what I'm reading now, as typically I will do. So I'm reading a book called Permission to Feel by Mark Brackett. He's the director of the, Emotional Intelligence Lab or something fancy like that at Yale. And he's done a lot of really cool work. It's research-based. And I'm finding it very fascinating because of the nuanced way he talks about emotion. He has this kind of color-coded graph that shows all these different emotions, and it's just really great for me to start putting names to certain very nuanced feelings. You know, maybe I'm not just happy. Maybe I'm excited and a little of this and a little bit of that. So it's a cool tool for you. And then also I'm noticing that I'm using some of the words as I'm talking to my kids too. So I'm helping them realize that emotions are nuanced as well, which I'm really pumped about. I'm going to share two quotes from the book that really resonate with me. The first one is, "The irony, though, is that when we ignore our feelings or suppress them, they only become stronger. The really powerful emotions build up deep inside us like a dark force that inevitably poisons everything we do, whether we like it or not. Hurt feelings don't vanish on their own. They don't heal themselves. If we don't express our emotions, they pile up like a debt that will eventually come due." Yeah, I really, really resonated with that. It's got to come out at some point, right? So some of us for years and years, I mean decades, right, have been suppressing things that we really need to heal. And that's one of the things I'm excited to talk about this season on the podcast, is really being embodied and being safe to feel all the things, even if that might mean feeling fear or, you know, sadness or deep grief. Some of these things can be really challenging to feel. So when we're embodied and safe in our own bodies, we feel safe, and that's the preface for feeling anything. So yeah. And then the second quote is, "Where there is an emotionally skilled parent, there are children who have a greater ability to identify and regulate their emotions." Well, I'm just going to go ahead and drop the mic right there and shut it off. We're done. No, so I really like that because our kids are looking at us to figure out who they are in the world. They're looking at us to figure out how we process our emotions. So when we become more emotionally intelligent, so do our children, just by default. And so that's a really cool thing. And for me, that's a big motivator to learn. Of course, I'm doing it for myself. And it's really great that I can teach my kids also that feeling the entire range of emotion is okay. One of the things I've been doing lately is, gosh, I don't remember who this came from originally, somebody. But I've been kind of narrating my internal experience. So this morning or the other morning, I said, man, I forgot to turn on the dishwasher. Oh, I'm so disappointed. I can't believe I did that. Man, now we don't have any clean dishes. Now I need to take out a couple spoons and clean them. Oh, all right, next time I'll remember. You know, so I'm kind of narrating that for them. So that way they kind of make that a habit too when they don't get, you know, the color bowl they want or whatever it may be, something that might be little to us that feels big to them, right? So this book is a really good starter. I mean, I've been talking about emotions for a really long time, as many of you know. But this still is, I mean, I find a lot of the work in here valuable. So yeah, check it out. So what we're going to talk about today, this might just be the entire premise for this entire podcast, this entire season of the podcast, or maybe just like my entire life, period, end of story. So this Carl Jung quote, he's the one who gets the credit for this. I'm sure that it was him. He's got a lot of really interesting work and interesting quotes. So you may have heard this quote before. The greatest burden a child must bear is the unlived life of its parents. Whew. So, I mean, take a minute and just figure out what that means for you. Maybe you haven't heard that before. Maybe you have. It lands differently depending on where I'm at in my life when I hear this. And what I think we've done with this quote is I think we've turned it into some patriarchal hustle culture bullshit, honestly. And we've really said like, oh, wait. Okay, well, we got to go live our lives. All right, let's start a business. Let's do this. And we've really just kind of taken this and blown it to shreds. And what we have an invitation for here is, where in your life are you hustling? Where in your life are you trying to make up for something that maybe you didn't get from your parents, or make up for a disappointment you had in life, or make up for not feeling worthy? So, you know, scaling your business or getting to this level of success career-wise. And, you know, it's going to be personal for each one of us. And for me, the greatest burden a child must bear, the unlived life of its parents. When I think about that, I think about my healing and my ability to feel all the feelings that for decades I didn't. It's important to examine the things that you may not be wanting to look at. It's important to examine perhaps your habits and your ways that you choose to numb or not feel. And if you think about, what am I not willing to feel? When am I not willing to feel? And why? The answer probably is it's just too dang painful, for one, or you just don't have any freaking time to feel, right? So, and when we start peeling back that layer of the onion, what's really there? And 9 times out of 10, it's past hurt that we never took a look at, and that we never actually were brave enough to say, oh man, this is really bad. I need to take a look at this and, you know, hug my inner child and give her what she always needed. Be the loving presence, the loving parent that she didn't have. And when we're able to do that for ourselves and our own inner children, when we're able to be courageous enough to explore these patterns that aren't serving us, that's when the healing begins. So, you know, to feel the gut-wrenching, excruciating pain, to go to the depths of your being and say, wow, like, this is the work I need to do. This is the work I need to uncover, purify, heal, and let go of, ultimately, right? So this isn't about, you know, constantly walking around in a state of sadness or depression or woe is me or, oh, this is so hard. And it is hard. You know, life is lifey, as I like to say, right? And it is also that beautiful paradox. It is also beautiful and blissful and all the things. And so when we can take a very neutral position, we're able to notice, like, that, you know, the deep anger or rage or sadness or grief is always available because the bliss and the joy and the happiness is available too. So if your kids are pushing your buttons, if you are getting triggered by your kids, I don't know who doesn't, right? They are here really a lot for that purpose. They are here to go, hey, mom, hey, dad, time to wake up. I'm going to go ahead and just rub you the wrong way so that you can see what you need to heal in yourself. So if you find yourself wanting to hit the easy button, which, listen, I get it. But the ways we hit the easy button are the iPad, the TV show, the snacks, the overscheduling our kids. These are easy buttons in a lot of ways. It's an opportunity to ask ourselves, what is this about? Why am I hitting the easy button constantly? You know, is it constantly? Is it once in a while? What's going on? Are you just beyond exhausted? What's under that exhaustion, right? How are you truly, really feeling? What's something you need to explore that you haven't been present enough to do? I mean, it's really painful when we see our kids and we see us meeting their needs, and then it brings up for us sometimes, wait, what about the needs that we didn't get met when we were kids, right? So these needs can typically be something that's underneath the surface of what we didn't get met then, and we're still not getting met now, and we need to figure out how to meet those needs for ourselves. When we figure out how to meet our own needs, we can really truly meet our kids' needs. And, you know, a couple reasons that we don't meet our own needs and that it's hard for us to meet our kids' needs is because we never learned how. Some of us never learned how to, like, even say, I really need this, or I really want that. And then another thing is, it just hurts too freaking much. It hurts to walk around feeling like you have unmet needs and like your caregivers or in present time, your partners aren't meeting your needs. But the thing is that we were always the ones to meet our own needs as we grew into adulthood. And basically, you are the one you've been waiting for. A big need for so many of us is significance, right? It's a human need that we all have. And so in motherhood, the way significance shows up for us is we want our kids to be the most well-dressed. We want our family pictures to be the cutest. We want our career to be the most amazing. We want to scale our business because we want to be seven-figure entrepreneurs. We want that promotion because we are working moms, and damn it, we can fucking do it all, right? These are just some of the ways that this significance shows up for us in motherhood. And my question is, are we so busy with our own goals, that we're not showing up for our kids in the way they need? Are we so busy scaling our business, increasing our revenue, going up for that promotion, et cetera, that we're not realizing right in front of us what our kids need? Are we trying to cover up our own unmet needs through external validation that we're not even like emotionally present for our kids' tantrum, that we can't even like sit there for 30 seconds while our kid has a meltdown and say, oh gosh, it's so hard when you can't have the blue crayon because your sister has the blue crayon. Seriously. I mean, these are the type of opportunities we have possibly hundreds of times, depending on how many kids you have, hundreds of times a day. Just little moments where we can really acknowledge and see what's going on for our kids in their little worlds. And if we're lucky enough, they'll continue to invite us in. If we're present enough for them, if we acknowledge their experience, if we justify that, gosh, it's friggin' hard to get what you don't want. So this isn't a suggestion to send in your resignation or quit your business or quit your job or stop having professional or personal goals or, you know, not put focus on your marriage. There are parents who homeschool. There are parents who are stay-at-home moms. There are working corporate parents. There's everybody in the middle who can take a look at this for themselves. So I'm not saying to not have goals or to not be driven. It's not what this is about. It's, am I so busy with my own goals that I'm failing to even see my children right in front of me on a day-to-day basis? Am I too busy in my own head with everything that needs to be done around the house or on the computer or at the office that I'm essentially ignoring my children for a certain percentage of the time, let's say? So we all have opportunities to ask ourselves these questions. And, you know, it's not really easy to do. We can get into a very judgmental space, judgmental for ourselves. We can feel guilty if we notice, gosh, I have been on my phone or social media trying to numb out, or having, you know, 3 too many glasses of wine a night, or whatever that thing is for you. So the first step is becoming aware of that. Where am I too busy to be present with myself and then with my kids, with the ones I love? And you have the answers inside of you. So you're listening to me chat and throw out some ideas. And, you know, I've been through this experience. I've reflected on much of this. I'm still reflecting on this. I will continue to reflect on this. And spoiler alert, I don't have the answer for you. But what I can tell you is you definitely have the answer for you. But what it takes is getting quiet enough inside of yourself, inside of your mind and heart and body, to realize what you need to work on. And quiet inside doesn't mean lock yourself in a room and meditate or be, you know, a monk on a mountaintop, right? Quiet inside means removing the distractions, removing the things perhaps that you're using to numb, food, sex, alcohol, drugs, insert your thing here, right? Becoming quiet inside is actually peeling back all of the external things to hear your higher self, to hear your soul, essentially, and what that soul has to say to you. And it will be very clear, right? So if you're constantly triggered by your kids, if you're constantly numbing out, if you're complaining to your girlfriends, this is something to discover for yourself. This is an opportunity to learn. So we don't need to be judgmental. We don't need to go, oh gosh, not again, or here we are, and oh, this is so hard. No, it's just becoming curious. Wow, you know, I never noticed that I'm doing this thing and it's habitual, and wow, I'm not listening to my kid. Tell me about their really cool picture that they just drew, or whatever it is. So this is an invitation for you to get a little quiet inside yourself and start to hear what yourself has to say, because she's brilliant and she knows all the answers. So, and at the very minimum, she knows all the right questions to ask. One of the things I do constantly is ask questions. One of my favorite questions is why. I'm a self-proclaimed existential question asker, right? So I'm constantly looking for the meaning in this and why. Why this? And that doesn't have to be your question. You will know the questions to ask. And sometimes you don't even need to know the answers. It's just the questions that can help you ponder what's important, that can help you ponder life and why you're here, your purpose, how you want to show up for yourself and the ones you love. So the invitation for you this week is to focus on awareness, mindfulness, presence, and what that means for you. So how can you become more aware of your patterns on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? How can you become more aware of those thoughts in your mind that are just running wild, my child? How can you become more present in a day-to-day setting, whether that's in traffic, in the grocery store, you know, changing a diaper, witnessing a tantrum, having a hard discussion with your partner? Insert thing here. How can you be more present in every setting, in every situation? And remember, safety in your own body is a preface to all of this. So how can you feel safe? How can you show up for yourself and be a loving presence for yourself first? And in that, we will be showing up in a way for ourselves that promote safety, connection, passion, creativity. And when we show up in these ways for ourselves, we're going to start to notice that we're able to show up for our kids differently too. And why is that so important, showing up for our kids differently? It's not about, you know, being better or being the best or being a good mom. When we show up for our kids in a way that allows them to express who they are, to emote, to show us the full range of their beautiful, complicated, nuanced personalities, we promote lifelong connection with them. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're here. It's one of the reasons I'm here. It's one of the reasons you probably clicked on this podcast. You have decided that connection with your children is one of your values, that it's one of your guideposts. It's your North Star, right? I can totally relate. And this isn't about putting our needs aside, because remember, the greatest burden a child must bear is the unlived life of its parents, right? It's not about putting our needs, our goals, our emotions aside. It's about integrating our needs and then being able to integrate the needs of those around us too. So there's another quote by Carl Jung that I will leave you with. And it says, "If there is anything that we wish to change in the child, we should first examine it and see whether it is not something that could be better changed in ourselves." Wow. if that's not an invitation to look in the mirror and to come to terms with some of the, you know, things that we've been projecting on out to our children that we are perhaps blaming on them of why we're stressed or why we're this or why we're that, you know, we can really take an honest look at ourselves and go, oh, this is my stuff. This isn't my kids. This is me. So take that with you this week. Ask yourself those questions. Sometimes it's just even better to ask a question and not even need the answer. Let go of the need to control or the need to know the right answer, which is so counterintuitive for so many of us. I totally get. But when we let go of that need, that's where the magic happens. Thanks for being here. So happy to talk to you. And I'll talk to you next time. All right, bye.